This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ipswich Town's rich modern history in the FA Cup continues with National League South side Maidstone, the beneficiaries of Ipswich Town's lovely welcome to Portman Road. Welcome to Giant Killers Anonymous. This is the Blue Monday podcast. Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast discussing the town up or down since 2015. This is the flagship show and we go live every Sunday at 8 o'clock on YouTube and shortly afterwards on podcast to talk about the latest goings on at Portman Road and further afield. Joining me to make sense of this this is going to be the heaviest caveated show I think we've ever done, but we're going to make sense of it. We are going to try and dissect it all we can. But Dave, one of those days, isn't it, eh?
Yeah. I think I'm feeling better about it now. I don't know how I felt yesterday. I think more shock. I don't know about you, coming out the ground yesterday, and I walked home yesterday. And kind of sort of shocked, and then did force myself to watch most of it back, and I did force myself to watch Match of the Day, just to see really, was it really, were we really that bad? And I mean, other than the two goals, big caveat, I don't think we were really.
Is that all? Joe's joined us. Joe has raced against time. It's like a Top Gear challenge from back in the day. The longest TGI Fridays experience I've had since Oxford away in summer night 2019. But he's here resplendent in his pink goalie shirt. And the one with the, I think, yeah, it's the new badge, isn't it, that makes it rare. But he's got the pink one on. Joe, how are your emotions? How are you feeling after Saturday?
I'm sort of over it already, to be fair now. It was one of those ones I could just feel my stomach sinking through the sort of the last 75th
minute
of the game. And it was just like, we're not going to turn this around. I could just feel it going and going. And then, so when it left, I had to get straight out because I had to get away. And then got in the car, like my son started like crying. And I'm like, so I think because he was so upset, I had to then sort of maybe get over it a bit quicker, sort of to be the responsible, it's happened because we had so many shots, it was lucky once in life. So I'd sort of maybe had to get the sort of defeat out of my system quicker than most because I had to sort of be a responsible dad rather than just joining him crying in the car.
Did you pull over somewhere, Joe, and buy him a box of paninis or something? Absolutely. I mean, yeah. Football cards, not the bread.
Type. Not a sandwich. Yeah. Well, I think that sets Joe set the tone really well. We are going to try and be the responsible adults and try and make sense of this all, because I think I posted it in the Blue Monday Telegram. It's kind of the acceptance change kind of curve. We were all in kind of anger, denial, bargaining, and what have you. So I think we're a few hours on. I think we're going to try and make sense of it. We're obviously not going to, as I said, heavily caveated show this week. We're not going to go through the game blow by blow because there'll be about 40 odd chances to talk about and 38 of them for Ipswich. So we're going to try and understand it. We're going to try and figure out the context, the bigger context, and whether it matters at all. and look ahead to what should hopefully be a busy week in the transfer window and deadline day slamming, well, the window slamming shut on Thursday as it is, and then Preston away. But we'll let's say hello to folk in the chat. As I said, it's kind of a little bit of therapy. We put it in the Twitter post earlier, so we want to hear from you as well. But you know, try and keep your emotions in check if you can. I'm sure everyone will. Good evening to Jason. Calmed down now after yesterday's result. Paul is here as well. Fellow sufferers, he said. Well, 1 in 100 game, other 99 matches we win by 5 or more. Freak result. Let them up the road laugh, he says. They won't be at season's end. Very quickly, I'm going to... would it be better or worse to lose to a team in the kind of EFL 92, or would it be better to lose to Maidstone? If you're going to lose at home on national TV, would you want to, if like West Brom Wolves, obviously lots of weird goings on today at that ground, obviously not scenes that none of us want to see, but you wouldn't, if we'd lost to Norwich 2-1 yesterday, would that hurt more, Dave?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, you just get it tenfold. I did actually, I have to confess, I did force myself last night to have a quick peek over at Roth at the Barclay as well, which was, I seldom do, but I thought, I'm just going to see what it's, oh, it was just horrific. So, would I rather have lost to Maidstone and give them their day rather than Norwich? Yes, 100%.
Yeah, and Joe, this point here from Ashley as well. Don't like seeing teams win at Portman Road, but no issues yesterday with the celebrations for Maidstone. George Ellacobe enjoying it pre, during, and post match. Are you of the similar school of thought to Ashley that, you know, good on them? Stephen, who we see from the Stone Stage podcast that we met on Thursday, you can't begrudge him yesterday, Saturday, can you?
No, and I didn't hang about for the celebrations, but there was a few, as I was walking out, a few people were like, oh, fair play to them, they sort of done it. It was quite a sort of muted atmosphere there. And I guess, like, everything you've heard from Ellacobe, he seems like a really good guy, really decent guy, and he's been very respectful, and I think they travelled down in great numbers, had a great time, and it wasn't like it was a giant killing where basically every single thing needed to go right or in their favour, like a free kick to give, a penalty not to be given, the ball to hit the post and bounce out. Every single thing needed to happen one way for them to win, and it did. It wasn't like they came here, kicked us off the park, sort of, I wouldn't say cheated or anything like that, but they didn't play the game in a dirty fashion. They came and played a proper game of football, got a number of huge slices of luck along the way.
Yeah,
took their chances when they came and walked away with the victory. It wasn't a game that left a sort of bad taste in your mouth, but it is probably the worst result in the country.
As a result,
it's an embarrassment. The result is an embarrassment, but I didn't think the performance was an embarrassment. I didn't think it was one where you walk out the game disgusted with the team. You just walked out of there almost like shaking your head with a rueful smile, thinking, how on earth has that just happened?
It wasn't at Barrow or Lincoln where both, if I remember both those games, we barely had an effort on target, did we? Barely.
And they were replays, and we were lucky to get replays in both of them.
Yeah, we were, to be fair. So, look, just one of those, as you said, one of those incredible days. And you know, the FA Cup is well and alive with the magic of the cup and all that, but these results happen from time to time, and unfortunately it happened to us. Shouldn't have done, perhaps, but...
And you look at Match of the Day, I watched that as well, and they don't even show, like, Edmonton missing the three headers from 6 yards out, Aluko scuffing that shot wide. There was probably four big chances that weren't even shown on there, and they still showed 10 chances that we had. And I think it's clear to anyone who watched it and saw it that it was just a freak game. We were 38 shots to 2 and you lose 2-1. It's what I think people would be describing as FMing on their football managering.
Yes.
And the shots were of decent quality. And I kiss of death. I said to my wife after about 15 minutes, or like maybe about 10 minutes, this is going to be a long, long afternoon for Maidstone. And it turned out not to be. But
no.
Those shots hit the post in the first half and stuff like that. Oh. You kind of shrug it off. Don't you think, one will go in a minute and then that'll be it. You know, it'll be 3, 4, 5. But yeah, I guess the longer it went on, the more you kind of think, yeah, okay.
A lot of similar thought here to FPL, who was in the Greyhound pre-match. We were all very happy and smug going into in the Greyhound, weren't we? So important we respond well on the pitch in the next week, you know, and off the pitch clearly Mark Ashton a lot of work to do, but I mean, that's the real quiz, isn't it? Let's be honest. The likelihood of us winning this competition in terms of trying to contextualize it was always very low anyway. We might, you know, clearly when we got Maidstone at home, you want to think that we get through that one and maybe get a nice plum tie fifth round. I mean, in another world, it's Coventry and Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, horrible. Away. Horrible.
Spoiler alert. Which I mean,
that'd have been just sort of awful.
I don't think we would have wanted anyway, would we? But
no, chance of getting, yeah, I suppose decent chance of, well, Coventry are flying a bit, but yeah, probably possibly a decent chance of getting through, but no, horrible, horrible draw, wouldn't it? But
yeah,
fair play to them. Good away, another good away day for them wherever they go.
Yeah, Gary says this is, as you guys have said, this is not Lincoln or Barrow away. We played okay. You know, there's going to be different emotions in there, of course. We're not here to tell you what to think, folks, so you can have your views here. I mean, Graham's not particularly happy. No excuses. But I think a lot of people, guys, probably before we just get into some of the detail of the game itself, a lot of people saying it's how we deal with it next Saturday that counts. If we beat Preston, of course, in the national media, it's going to be about Maidstone, and it should be about Maidstone. Of course it is. I don't think a huge amount of people are taking aim at us, are they? It's mainly Maidstone success that they're focusing on, but we've kind of got to beat Preston now, haven't we, Dave? Because otherwise it looks this is maybe giving us a bit of a knock.
This is a pivotal week, isn't it? We always knew it was going to be, you know, whatever the result yesterday, given the closing of the transfer window and our shortage of a striker or strikers, to be fair. So, yeah, then very much so. The next 3 or 4 days is going to be fairly critical to our season, I think. And obviously very, very critical that we bounce back in good fashion against Preston on Saturday. Yeah, you're right. A win against Preston on Saturday. And it will never look, this will never be forgotten, as you say. And year after year, this will now come up. Obviously, we know that. But yeah, a win against Preston is the bigger picture. And will help settle people down, I think.
Yeah, should we get into it? Let's talk about the game, and then we can kind of talk about what next. I think probably what I have in mind. Well, let's talk about our lineup first and foremost. There's not a huge amount of insight that we can provide you on Maidstone's apart from ex-ITFC George Fowler not in the team. That would have been an interesting, I guess, dimension to it as well. But otherwise, I think a few key players returned for them who'd been missing. Certainly, they rotated a few at Braintree, the draw midweek prior to that. So. Yeah, Aggie Pong came back in, Manny Duku as well, but yeah, George Fowler. George Fowler was in the team, was he? Let me put it up on the screen, and then that will help me, won't it?
It was him that fouled Sarmiento.
Yeah, it is.
Okay,
yeah, it is.
Fine.
Yeah.
And blocks Nathan Broadhead's shot within 30 seconds.
Oh, well, then he's made an impact then. I apologise to George.
He was fairly critical.
There we go. That's not worked, is it? Apologies, guys. Let's go through the Ipswich team because it's easier to talk about them. 10 changes. In hindsight, Joe, we could do the how did you feel at 11:30 and how do you feel now? Is 10 changes and the personnel that came in, was that enough for you?
Yeah, I think it was what was to be expected. I put the team that I thought it would be in, and the only things that I got wrong were I had Axel Tuanzebe at right back with Wolfenden at centre back, and I had Marcus Harness instead of Sonny Aluko. They were the two that I thought would start, sort of probably half forgetting that Harness started on Monday night against Leicester.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm just not a, and I didn't think he did as badly as someone made up, but I'm just not a massive fan of Don Ball at right back. It just seems a sort of waste of time for me.
Yeah, this is the foot mob representation of the lineup, as you say, is definitely very much Don Ball at right back rather than. Don Ball arrived at run two and Zabi. Morsey comes in. I don't think, Dave, there was any surprises that Morsey, having had a few weeks out, that he came in. Jack Taylor alongside him. Yeah, I guess the selections of Taylor and Broadhead largely about confidence for league matches, given they've not been able to contribute a great deal of late.
Yeah, you would think so. Yeah. I expected them both to play, yeah. And I think it was fairly well documented that perhaps we were going to go up with Broadhead as playing as the sort of nine.
Yep. And your thoughts on that as well, that experiment, and is that a signal to Mark Ashton to get some deals done? Or
I think a very big, I think the reddest of the reddest of flags, I think that one. What? Probably.
Yeah. No, yeah. Where was Caden Jackson yesterday? I haven't seen that note anyway, because he wasn't even on the bench, was he? So no.
And
obviously had Broadhead and then Buabo coming on to replace him. So there was just no strikers effectively in the match day 20 yesterday. And I say it's a difficult one. You score one of those early chances and there's no talk about the team, is there?
No, true. But no. On paper, Joel, and I'll put it back on the screen. I think we were talking about in Telegram, you know, Sarmiento's in that team, Hutchinson's in that team. There is enough quality there. And even the players that have come in, that these are at worst top end League One players. They maybe not quite yet Championship. Maybe, you know, again, after the fact, Aluko's slowing down a little bit. His best days are maybe in his career. Well, definitely in his career behind him. But again, talented player, capable of making a difference, isn't he? So you kind of look at that team and think, that's enough, isn't it, against the National League South team?
I guess it's where we think we've got weaknesses at the moment, which is probably fullback and striker. And you've got no Brandon Williams, you've got no Janoi Danasian, so you are weak at fullback, and so you end up with Don Ball and Cameron Humphreys starting. I personally like seeing Humphreys there instead of Davis, but it is a huge drop off. And then we're weak at striker, and you start with Nathan Broadhead up front, which sort of weakens you in another area of the team and puts somebody who's maybe not quite suited to that nine role to start the game against a defence like that. Yeah, so it's the areas in the squad which we know are struggling either through injury or lack of personnel. And when you change everyone, they're the areas of the team which are weaker, aren't they?
Yeah, and we've not talked about the keeper as well, Dave, and Christian Walton coming in. No surprises in that respect, but we know that they're different, very different keepers, aren't they?
Yeah, he's played in every cup game so far. You do notice, I mean, who would have thought this? You do notice just a general drop off in play from the, you know, in play playing out the area with his feet. But no, you know, that looking at that side, that had more than enough quality, should have had more than enough quality. And when you look at some of the sides we've put out in recent years, in cup ties, goodness me, yeah, that's certainly one of our stronger ones, isn't it?
Yeah. Should we take it up to the point of the goal? We'll talk through Reynolds' goal in a bit, but in terms of prior to that, Dave, let's go with you. It was possessionally, territorially, it was a one-way traffic, wasn't it? And there are so many of these chances that you just think, I mean, you score one, at least one of them, the game is entirely different. But the story is we don't.
I mean, the ones that hit the post, you know, Sarmiento's hit the inside of the post, a deflection one from Hutchinson, the deflection from Sarmiento that skims the bar. Again, someone said 99 out of 100, one of those goes in, you know, for sure one of those goes in. It was a missed chances, but I don't deem those to be missed chances. It was the, you know, the Aluko, the Edmondson header was probably, was that the worst of the lot, maybe? I mean,
he's so close in, isn't he? As in, he should be getting on target.
Surely he scored there.
Like he closed his eyes, I think.
Broadhead, did he really show much conviction? And he opens himself up that side foot finish. Christ, just hammer it left foot, for Christ's sake, you know. And the Aluko miss, that's a bad miss, really.
Drags it, doesn't he? He's got so much time.
Could he take a touch? I think he could take a touch there. He just panics and drags it. Ironically, if we're 1-0 up, then he probably does take a touch and he just passes it in for 2-0 and we go on and win the game 4 or 5. So, but you still, even all those chances came quite early on. I mean, I think all those chances, you know, hitting the woodwork and those three chances, all in the first 25 minutes, probably, certainly first half, probably.
Yep.
So, yeah, I suppose the longer it goes on without a goal, you think, okay, it'll come. Because let's face it, they hadn't been out of their half, had they? No, they had not been out of their half, let alone around our box, hadn't been out of their half. So you think it's going to come, but then...
Yeah, well, we have a corner, don't we, Joe? Sarmiento sweeps in the corner, probably sticks a little bit too much on that corner. It's hooked away, and talk to us about all the things that go wrong from that point onwards.
Well, because I was sitting in the south upper, so you get quite a good overview of what's going on. And as soon as the ball was with that guy on the right, you just thought, I won't say what I thought, because we'll get us, we'll lose our monetization on the pot. Yeah. But you could just see it open up, and it was just so open. And at first, you couldn't really tell what's gone wrong, but I've seen it back, and obviously, Don Ball gets sort of dragged, or Morsey chasing down to the line, and Don Ball gets dragged in, and then he sees the bodies and he goes back with them. And it was noted on the Telegram today, and Amari Hutchinson wins that corner, but he sort of is injured at the corner and he's hobbling about, and then it's his man that runs off him and he doesn't go with him. So I don't know, Ball needs to stay and try and sweep up in the middle, and Hutchinson needs to go with him, and they need to have left Morsey with it. But yeah, it's a really, really poor goal, and yeah, it's a brilliant finish. He goes in, but like Walton again is It's difficult to know. Is he where he should be? He looks like he's a little bit in no man's land. He sort of comes out but leaves too much of it there. But then when someone's running in on goal from 40 yards as a keeper, there's not huge amounts you can do. So I wouldn't put a huge amount of blame at his door. It's just to let in a goal like that, of that style against the National League South side, is embarrassing. Defensively, it's embarrassing, isn't it? Letting a goal like that. And I'm sure McKenna, Purr and the rest of the staff will be pulling their hair out of how badly we defended that.
Yeah, from our own set piece as well. I mean, you have to give a huge amount of credit, as we said, to Lamar Reynolds for the not only for the finish, Dave, but the running, the pace to get in
there. Not just that, the ball. It's a great ball
from
Sol.
Yep.
It's a great ball. You know, sort of gets out
perfect.
Almost half volleys it, doesn't he? And I think we should make a bigger player, Hutchison. There, Hutchison looks like he's trying to get back and just can't. Whether he's got he's just hobbling, isn't he? I don't think he sort of runs and then half stops and then he realizes he can't affect things. Only criticism of Walton there: could he stand up? Could he stand up there and make himself bigger there? He kind of half sort of goes down. What a great finish! The lad gets it out of his feet first of all with a great touch, gets out in front of him. And it's just a brilliant, hats off to this brilliant, brilliant finish, because, you know, he won't have ever had a bigger moment and probably...
It's his first goal of the season as well, by the way.
Unbelievable finish, to be fair, the composure he shows. But my only criticism of Walton, yes, someone said he was in no man's land. Could he just stand up there and make himself bigger there? But fair play to the finish.
Or if he stays on his line, you know, he's got a... Yeah.
Or if he stays on his line, he's perhaps... Maybe. Yeah, gives him more to think about.
Lewis here, Hladky would have been on halfway, would have likely sloughed it out. Would he have been? I'm not sure he would have been that far out, Lewis.
That from very deep.
I think given it's such a quick breakaway, I'm not sure necessarily Hladky might be in halfway, but yeah, we can only speculate, really, can't we? But yeah,
huge. I think it was noticeable in the second half when they were sort of knocking balls forward, just sort of how deep Walton was. He was sort of standing on the edge of the box and sort of coming forward to get them, where Hladky would be sort of 15, 20 yards higher and sort of keeping the pace of the game up sort of thing. But I don't think it would have made a difference. I think the difference is normally on a corner, Wolfie doesn't go up for corners. He stays back and he's the one that covers it all. And he's got the pace to get himself out of trouble and he reads the game well, where, I say, Don Ball's not a natural fullback and he's sort of back there and he gets pulled towards the ball, doesn't he?
Yeah. Lack of pace there. And it's, in terms of narrative, in terms of trying to, you know, choreograph the game, for want of a better phrase, perfect time to score, right? Just 44 minutes, I think it is, isn't it? You know, no time for us really to settle and, you know, try to regroup and get back at them. So perfect time to score, a lovely pile on and lots of thinking about stuff. Would you, Joe, have made any changes at halftime? Obviously never made.
To be sort of blunt, Shawnee Aluko was really struggling from about... He looked really sharp for the sort of first 15, 20 minutes. And then after that, he seemed to just... I wouldn't say ran out of puff. He just didn't seem to... Nothing went right from him from that point onwards. And he looked really... He looked like when we were totally on top and the game was in the final third, he looked relatively sharp at the start. But he just sort of drifted out of the game badly and it almost became more of a hindrance and a help to us as a team. And I know, I think I'd have probably looked to have got Marcus Harnson, maybe not at half time, but maybe sort of 5 minutes into the second half, but probably as early as I could, I'd have probably looked to have made a change there.
I think where I noticed it, he was in a foot race for his centre half and he had a couple of yards on him, didn't he? Sort of coming in towards the edge of the penalty area down the right. Must have been before they scored in the centre half, just... He gave him 2 or 3 yards in the centre half, just sort of like breezed past him and, you know, took the ball off. And you think, yeah, okay, you really are sort of showing your age. But yeah, perhaps your time has come. But yeah, it's a shame for him.
I get, Joe, one player who I think stood out and made an impact and is obviously going to have probably the most, you know, important impact for Ipswich in this match that obviously we're going to lose is Jeremy Sarmiento. Had a really good first half, buzzing everywhere. Liked the fact that him and Hutchinson kind of buddy up at times as well, which was quite good. A lot of threat from out wide, but also cutting in, and takes his goal really well, doesn't he? Maybe a little deflection, but yeah, good goal.
Yeah, he made some really positive runs with the ball, didn't he? I think there was one in the first half, which ends up clipping the bar from the deflection, just sort of skips through the midfield. And I thought his use of the ball was good. He worked really hard. He got back and forth. And I say, he's just a lovely player to watch, isn't he? Once he gets in full flow. And yeah, really decent ball into him and he takes a shot relatively early. But it's one of those ones sort of back across the keeper where if you get it through the defender's legs, the keeper's not really got a chance of getting there, and it's in, and you think, oh, here we go. Sort of straight to back on the attack, and we'll win this one, sort of 2-3-4-1. I know. I had sort of people messaging me like saying, oh, Ipswich are still 2-1 to win by sort of more than one goal. They're going to score in the first 15 minutes of the half, and then they'll win it because they are just so on top, sort of thing. And I think everyone was just expecting that to happen.
Quickly, to Trevor's point here, interested that he was taken off. Your thoughts on that one? Well, I mean, there was the goal goes in, and there is a triple sub that's readied, isn't there? Like McKenna has had enough at 52 minutes or whatever, at 53 minutes, and so this, you know, the cavalry is called for. The goal goes in at the same time, and he goes ahead with a substitution. But I don't think Sarmiento was taken off at that point, was he? I'm trying to remember. No,
that was the two fullbacks and
And Aluko possibly went.
Aluko, yeah, that was the two fullbacks and Aluko at that
Bravo
point.
Comes in, isn't he? Yeah.
Further on was Hutchinson and Sarmiento.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts with whether Sarmiento stays on a bit longer, perhaps? That was to Trevor's point.
Well, again, I mean, to be fair, look, you replaced him with who Sarmiento was directly replaced with, Boab, I suppose, to a degree, but Burns came on. Burns came on as well, didn't he? So, yeah, you've sort of, I can see perhaps with one eye maybe on next week. I mean, it's 1-1, or is it? Sorry, no, he comes. They've just scored at that point, haven't they?
Yep.
Yeah, because the fullbacks. I mean, I don't know. I think we just needed to try something different. I wouldn't surprise maybe Hutchison went off. I thought Hutchison had a half decent game as well yesterday. I thought his end product was pretty good. You know, shots off, good saves by the keeper and stuff. But yeah, you know, look who was on the pitch by then. Chaplin was on the, you know, Chaplin, Burns. Still should have been, whether he's on there or not, it still should have been enough, shouldn't it?
Yeah, well, let's talk about that as well before we talk about the second goal. On my list of conspiracy theories, the chat has got there first. Here's Chris Rand, who I saw at halftime. And then the haircut comes on. And Neil, Burns and his naughty word haircut, his fault. Jason, Burns' haircut, what do we think? I mean, this is... Colin's a big fan of it. It reminded me of, do you remember Alistair McGowan used to have his own little football impression show on BBC Two, and he once did an Ipswich Town impression, and it was when Ian Marshall cut off his huge massive long hair and couldn't score a goal, I think it was. Do you want to talk about Wes Burns' hair, or shall I move on? The alternative is, David, that you have to talk us through the second goal for Maidstone.
I think I'd rather talk you through the second goal, to be fair. I'd rather talk you through it. Christ.
Is there a foul on Sarmiento first?
Yes.
Foremost?
Well, there is. Yeah. It's not immediately evident, is it? It's not, you know, from where we are. I don't know if you could see it. I could see you over the far side where I was sitting yesterday, Joe. And you couldn't really detect it. It looked at first, so he's trying to carry the ball inside. And he didn't give the ball away at all yesterday until you think, oh, God, that's really poor. You know, he's just got muscled out of that. Then, obviously, when you look back at the slow-mo and stuff, I mean, Fowler's got half his shirt. And maybe, is there enough for him to fall? I don't know. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. But
it's not great control, is it? He runs into a little
for
bit
for once. It's not great control, but he has got a bunch of his shirt, quite clearly. You see it back, he's got a bunch of his shirt. And Taylor, who you know, he was he was perfectly positioned 5-10 yards away probably, but yeah, didn't get the decision. And but again, it's incredibly similar to the first goal, really, a little bit further up the pitch where, you know, the guy makes a late run from midfield. Again, good from Reynolds. Again, the ball was great, perfectly weighted ball. And again, like the first goal, the lad Corn just gets it out of his feet with a great first touch. Edmondson, looking at the goal back, could he slide there? Could he really go really slide and take, all right, risk giving a pen away? But again, does Walton, he gets beaten on his near post. All right, the guy's only 12 yards out and it's a good strike, left foot inside his near post. But could he do more? Possibly, I don't know, but it's just another bad goal. And again, I think the original run from the lad Corn, I think he runs off the back of probably Morsey, I think. Yeah, it's a tight finish, it's a nice ball, but again, it's very, very similar to the first goal.
And Joe, in terms of conspiracy theories, did you see the extra kind of the double touch that Corn has with his standing foot before he strikes with his left?
Yeah, it sort of flicks off his right, doesn't it,
as he takes it away from Edmondson.
Just lifts it, it was just, yeah. But like I say earlier in the pod, everything that had to go right for them went right. Every tiny little thing that that was the only way they were going to beat us. And it's the one where it's a foul on Sarmiento. It's not given. The ball picks up and goes in. But again, it's a good finish, isn't it? Sort of, you're in a good position. There was still a lot to do from when they won the ball back, and they still had to play two passes, and those passes had to be spot on, and they were. So it's all about, in these games, when you've, I'd say these players, they're chasing the ball around, not touching the ball much. When you get the ball, it's then very, very difficult to make the right decisions because you're knackered, you haven't touched it much, to actually do what they want to do and execute it perfectly, as they did for both their goals in all phases of the attack, shows some real quality.
Yep, and that's all they needed to do, really. There are chances, Joe, just to finish off the kind of match action. Chances for Burns, aren't there? A couple of them.
Yeah, and one, he seems to just blaze it. I didn't see a replay of that, and he hits it so hard. And it's like, could you not hit the target there? And there was a header that the keeper clawed out the top corner. Chaplin obviously has a header from the scramble. There was the penalty shout on Edmondson, which looked like a penalty to me all day long. Yeah. There was just chance after chance, really, wasn't there? But the keeper was making good saves, but not spectacular saves. But he was still in the right place at the right time, slowing the game down and doing what he needed to do. But it felt like we didn't the football gods were against us yesterday. We weren't going to get back into that game. And when you look at what a draw would have meant as opposed to a defeat, and it means we'd have had another midweek game at Maidstone, which
on a 5G pitch, or
which chances are we'd have probably won. No disrespect to Maidstone, I think they'd agree with that. We'd have gone there and beaten them. We'd have had another midweek game, the sort of Tuesday, Wednesday before the Plymouth game. So I think losing, it was better than drawing. I think I'd prefer to win any tie, but when you look at it now, you see Leeds drew at Plymouth. They've got to go down to Plymouth next midweek. That's a whole week's training disrupted for one game, which don't need.
Southampton
have got the same at Watford. I know that's at home, so it's not as bad. But if they then get through that, they've then got another midweek game. And I think the fourth round, with the way it's set up with the midweek fifth round ties, the fourth round is the time to get knocked out of the cup if you can. But ideally, you get knocked out playing well against a good side and you just don't quite get over the line. Like we did last year against Burnley, for example, you go there and you lose. But again, that was still a replay. That was still an extra game that we didn't need. But yeah, we're probably in a good position now when you look at it. Then you look at the draw. That would have been Coventry or Sheffield Wednesday away from home.
Yeah, horrible.
Tuesday, Wednesday. Not an exciting game, not a big game, but a whole week disrupted to have it. Because if the game's on the Tuesday, you then travel up there on the Monday, you have that there the Tuesday. Wednesday's recovery, you're in for a light session on Thursday, and then all of a sudden the next game's there. So I much prefer to be out of it now. And
McKenna
having 4 weeks, I'm not, like, obviously, it is an embarrassment to lose to how we did yesterday, but it wasn't.
We weren't outplayed, were we? I mean, that's the difference with the Barrow games, isn't it? You
know? And now we're sort of the old adage, concentrate on the league, and we will concentrate on the league now. And
we've now just got
to get the same amount of points as Southampton do over the next 18 games, and we'll be in the Premier League.
I'll get your summings up in a second, because I wanted to put on the screen for you the match stats before we move away from the game itself and the attacking momentum graph, which I don't think I've seen posted yet. So I thought I'd dig out which we do first. Let me do the stats first. There's the stats, 78% possession, which is probably not as much as I thought, actually, but nearly 4 XG, 38 total shots, 13 of which are on target, 6 big chances. 6 big chances missed as well, Dave. 11 corners to nil. But here's the... Sorry for those of you who are listed. Gone, sorry.
Go back to the passes there. 99 passes against 597. Okay.
Yeah, 597 accurate passes to their 99, of which 50% were accurate. Yeah, 88% accuracy. For those listening on the podcast, Dave, the graph has got blue for us, and it's kind of like a brownie orange for Maidstone. Just describe for those listening on podcast what the attacking momentum graph looks like. Can you see any brownie orange in there?
It's like a succession of blue skyscrapers, basically, as you can describe it.
It's like the Home Alone logo. God.
I mean, this is the thing. I know you've got, you can see where the goals are. There's a show of the goals. You can see where the goals are highlighted. But take those away. If you'd have shown that to anybody and said, what was the score in this game? what was the score in this game, and what were they said, 5-6? I don't know. It's I think the writing on the wall for me was that Chaplin header, which was even a header. I think it came off his shoulder. The one with Joe said he sort of palmed up in the air, and it was almost like a 10-man scrum in the 6-yard box. It was like primary school football in the playground, wasn't it? Everyone trying to get a swipe of the ball, and someone's laying on top of it. So when that kind of didn't fall for us going, I thought, yeah, this is not gonna happen.
And you said shared Joe's sentiments. You know, we got 8 minutes of added time that was mentioned in the chat. Were you kind of hoping just to save face that we get an equaliser?
Look, I wouldn't be uber critical of the ref or anything yesterday, but he certainly got that right, eight minutes. And to be fair to them, I don't think they overtime. Christ, I've seen a lot worse this season. I really don't think they overdid that at all. A little bit here and there, but not to any massive extent like we've seen. So, look, fair play to them, 8 minutes, and we didn't really create. In fact, perhaps the only time they got... The third time I got deep in a half was as the whistle went right at the end, where they chipped the ball to the corner and the guy ran it down in Edmondson, you know, right in the corner.
Yeah.
So a tough one to take, but we've just got to try and move on from it. As you said, you know, everyone will be lifted. Big if, you know, we know it's been going on. A signing or two this week will give everybody a lift, no doubt. Big if still. And then a win at Preston, and as I said at the start, this will never be forgotten because it's going to come up year on year on year. But the bigger picture is still there. Yep. You feel far worse getting knocked out if we were sitting, I don't know, 15th, 8 points out of the 10 points, 8 points out of the playoffs. I mean, how worse would that be, you know, at least we've got a cup run, Maidstone at home, at least fifth round, well, first time for like 16 years or whatever it is. But you just got to take it, I'm afraid.
Yeah, you're kind of thinking Ronnie Radford, Roy Essendo, was it? Mickey Thomas, maybe, and Lamar Reynolds. Good on them.
I can sympathise that everyone out there who's posted, everyone, it shouldn't happen. As Joe quite rightly said, yes, it is an embarrassment and it shouldn't have happened, but it was just one of those days.
The magic of the cup.
Yep.
I'm gonna. We'll do 5-10 minutes more on this, and then we never have to talk about it again. I've got my conspiracy theories that I want us to tick off along the way. I haven't even scratched the surface, Dave. Here we go. You've got a question for the guys, particularly transfer business, particularly Preston related, because I think we're going to try and we've done our best on Maidstone. I don't think we want to rate that one over too much.
When you say conspiracy theory, I'm trying to think, is there a grassy knoll on Alderman Road Wreck or something? I'm not sure.
There's a drone above the stadium.
Is there a deposit?
Willis Caroon book depository. We'll quickly go through those. But stick a queue in front of your question so I can find it. We'll come back to those. We'll talk about the transfer window. We'll talk about Preston a little bit. But firstly, let's hear from Innovation Labs, who are our partners here on the flagship show.
Innovation Labs. Providing co-working and innovation hubs across East Anglia. We're the perfect place for remote workers, freelancers, startups or innovators to do business. Our unique member network creates extensive business development and collaboration opportunities. Hot desks are available from £20 a day or £99 per month, with business coaching also available from £50. Innovation Labs, turning your ideas into multi-million pound businesses. Located in Stowmarket, Ipswich, Sudbury, with new sites in Thetford, Norwich and Kuala Lumpur, opening soon.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across six different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
I hope that wasn't as loud as it was last week for those watching on YouTube, but I'm not 100% sure I put the right one there. So apologies if that was too loud.
Can I just say something? What I like about the new innovation labs is the new offices in, what is it, Norwich, Thetford and Kuala Lumpur.
It's a bit of a commute from East Anglia, that one is. And fair play to Mikey, professional as always.
Yeah,
I don't know if you noticed that Norwich got a little bit of a special read as well. So, thank you to Innovation Labs for their continued support. Right, let's go through, we'll tick these off really quickly. We talked about Burns haircut, tick. Halo's sponsorship has been an absolute nightmare since the Norwich game and Halo on the sleeve. What? How many wins?
One win in seven?
So there it goes. We talked about the team selection, 10 changes. A lot of chat and debate in Telegram last night. Joe, I'll come to you this, about complacency, maybe poor attitude. Certainly maybe there was a lack of intensity, but do you believe there was a massive amount of complacency on that you saw at least on Saturday or not?
No, it was just, I thought, like I say, you look at that first 20 minutes and there's no complacency on show there, is it? We're absolutely just tearing them apart time after time after time and we're just getting totally on top of them, but we don't score a goal and that's just how football goes. If you don't score when you're on top and all of a sudden that sort of mentally you just think, oh, is this going to be our day and things like that, and then they score and it goes that way. But no, certainly not a complacency from there. I'm sure we just showed them all the respect they deserved and earned over the cup run, and McKenna, and you've got Sam Morsey on the pitch for 90 minutes. He isn't a man that lets that happen with a team. And I think it was probably a good thing that Sam Morsey played yesterday, because firstly, I thought he looked a little bit rusty, which is unlike him. He's normally the best player on the pitch sort of most weeks. And also he knows how much it hurt being on that pitch as well, losing that game. And he will not let that happen again. He is a sort of true standard setter, heartbeat of the team, and I think it's good he was out there with them going through that, because he will ensure we bounce back over the rest of the season.
Yep. Dave, I mean, we talked about poor, bad in both boxes, basically poor defending, poor finishing. The atmosphere, Dave, we season ticket holders moved around, we obviously gave a huge amount of the cobalt stand to Maidstone, quite rightly, fair enough. Midday kick or 12:30 kickoff. The atmosphere really didn't help, did it? There's no, again, maybe was there to the point I put to Joe, was there maybe some complacency amongst the fan base?
And again, no disrespect meant at all to Maidstone. Was it ever going to be a sort of white hot fever pitch atmosphere against Maidstone? It just wasn't, was it?
No, a little bit of championship, you're having a laugh, but that was about as needly as it got.
Yeah. So no, I don't. I mean, I did see one point, which I suppose is quite a valid point. Someone posted, I think, on our Telegram. Not sure who it was, or may have even been on Twitter. I did look at that and then quickly didn't. But someone said, were we complacent? Were we a touch arrogant and not going in the game with a recognised number nine, recognised centre forward?
I mean, if thoughts on. I know that probably Ladapo had to go at that time because it might have been Charlton and that's the cue. But would he have made a difference on Saturday for you, Dave?
Possibly. Do you know what? I think Jackson may have been running beyond them, though. But again, they were so deep. Would it? I don't know.
Even on the bench, have named a recognised number nine? What's more disrespectful or arrogant, starting Nathan Broadhead or starting Jared Buabo up front?
Oh, no. I totally, I'd say perhaps established. I mean, Jackson was, what was it, a strange one? I don't know. He worked hard the other night against Leicester. Maybe he has got a slight niggle. As for Ladapo, would he? I mean, you know, put him in. Perhaps would he have been in the? Would he have been in the area where a Luko? Yeah, maybe he puts that one away. Look, who knows? But yeah, look, I'm pleased he's got his move away, and hopefully, you know, regular football for him. You know, his absence will perhaps be more acutely apparent in the next few days, won't it?
You're saying, let us know on Friday then, yeah?
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Fair dudes. Final one, Joe. I'll chuck some extras in here. It was the anniversary on Saturday of our 4-1 defeat to Man City in the FA Cup fourth round, 2002, or would have been 2003, wouldn't it? And Nile Berkovic's goal that shouldn't have stood because it wasn't a corner. Very quickly, Gary's mentioned it, and I was feeling this at the time. You've mentioned the Edmondson penalty. Anthony Taylor, an elite official, Joe, but did you get the sense that he was quite keen to help level things out a little bit?
It did feel like every marginal decision he was going to go with the underdog, and I guess this is also a referee who's used to VAR as well. Every single ref has VAR in, and now he's actually got to make these decisions himself with no help, and just seemed to, I'd say you're not expecting any help from the ref, but like the penalty, it's right in front of him. And when you look at it again, there is a slight angle which looks like there's maybe minimal contact when he pulls his foot away from it. But what's he expected to do? Just leave his foot there and take the full contact of it. But there's no way the ref can see it that closely that it's a dive, if it even is one. And like I say, the Sarmiento foul is right in front of him, and he's got a handful of his shirt, and you just think, oh, come on, these obvious issues you're watching. And when you're in the Premier League, which is so sort of pernickety over little fouls, as soon as there's any shirt pull, anything like that, it's a free kick given straight away. And it's like, it's almost like he thinks he's dropping down from the Premier League to the Conference, not to what is still an FA Cup fourth round tie. But yeah, I wasn't impressed with him all game, really.
Exactly, yeah. That maybe was. He felt a kind of release from it all, and I'm going to referee the game my way today. So yeah, he certainly did.
Not his best. But there we go. We can move on. I think that's my list of conspiracy theories done. I think Wes Burns' haircut is probably the primary one. I think we can all agree. Let's go to the questions. Thanks, folks, for the questions. If you posted one earlier and you feel like I've missed it, then feel free to repost it. Stick a cue at the start. We appreciate those. Let's start with Paul, who's kind of cutting to the chase, really. Who starts at 9 at Preston? Jackson, new signing, feels like. Broadbean has played his last game there. Dave, what's your take on the striker situation?
Well, you'd think if we get a new signing, if we do get a new striker in sooner rather than later this week, it will be him, won't it?
Yeah, well, it won't be Ali Al-Hamadi because he's playing for Iraq, isn't he? So he's not unavailable till
So you would think if we get someone through the door in the building, as it were, sort of earlier rather than later this week, it will certainly be him. Otherwise, it will be Jackson. Yeah, I don't see Nathan Broadhead playing there again in a hurry unless we're desperate.
Well, I think Iraq have got a game against Jordan tomorrow. So if they lose that, they're out. So what's that? Sorry,
they are the favourites.
Yeah, they're in the knockout stages though. So, he could be home at any point and signing for us. But I'd imagine Caden Jackson will start up front personally. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, Norman. Assuming we sign two strikers and a fullback, will Aluko be deregistered to ensure we have the squad places? Does anyone know the jiggery pokery on our 25?
Well, so far we've sold. We've got rid of Scarlett and Ladapo, haven't we? And they've been replaced by Travis and Sarmiento. So that leaves us back level. If we sign Al-Hamadi, he's under 21. So doesn't I think count. He's okay. So he doesn't count. And then it's Williams. If we sign a fullback, it's because Williams is going back. I think if Williams is staying, we don't sign a fullback. But that looks like that will happen. So, yeah, then one of the others will need to go out, whether it's Aluko or Lee Evans, or a permanent deal is done for somebody else somewhere along the line.
Well, Paul asked that question. Dave, any speculation? Do you want to any deaf info that you want to put out there?
No, not really. I mean, leave permanently. I'm not sure. I mean, permanent. No. I don't know. I mean, there's talk of maybe Cam Humphreys potentially going out on loan, but I mean, that will become, as Joe said, that will probably become more apparent if we get another, perhaps a fullback in. But as it stands, I don't really see unless deregistering. It's gone very quiet about Lee Evans. Is he anywhere close to being fit at all? Do we know?
About March, I think, the sort of start of March.
Did it say March? So he's not
a million miles off. Yeah. I guess the only people that will go out permanently are those whose contracts are up this summer, because anyone else is going to hang on in case they get a big whacking great promotion bonus, which is already built into their contract. So if they've got, like, Ladapo, he's got 18 months on his contract, well, he's not going to walk away from having his money doubled next season, whether he stays or goes, is he? So there, which, so I guess that leaves Janoi Dinashin, who's not been fit for a long time, Dominic Ball, who really does seem in a little bit no man's land, because he's almost like fifth choice central midfielder, third choice fullback. So he is the sort of senior player whose contract's up this summer, who doesn't really have a role in sort of the starting 11 or the second 11 almost. So I think if anyone were to go, he'd probably be quite high up the list, and he probably would quite fancy getting a jump on anyone else ahead of becoming a free agent in the summer and having to find a club at that point.
Yep. Good shout there, Joe. Callum's here, Cov fan, trying to find out as much as we can ahead of if they defeat Sheffield Wednesday, the game against Maidstone. I hope we play our first team against some Take No Prisoners if we get there. Yeah, will we? Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to see whether Lightning can strike twice, won't it? But anyway, Neil, I think we might have dealt with this, Dave. Is it time that some of our fringe players who won't be going out loan get some game time in the under-21s? I mean, well, Joe, do you want to deal with that one?
Yeah. The under 20, the standard is just it's a bit of a waste of time, really. And most of the people in the under 21s that would maybe drag the stand up a bit are out on loan anyway. So you are talking about, you're almost dropping them back to playing almost like the under 18s. And McKenna values his training sessions as much tougher than the under 21s competition. That's why even the likes of Cam Humphreys, Elkin Baggett very, very rarely play for the under 21s.
Okay. Yeah. A few people talking about. Ball out on loan and Colin asks about Gallagher. A few people asking is Gallagher a panic or it feels like Gallagher has been a long-term target, but it just doesn't feel like it's going to happen, does it? A lot of chat that it's kind of, well, Thursday it's now or never, but is this ship sailed? Have we got to move on, Dave?
I mean, almost. Look, are they playing a big, the Venkies, are they playing a big game of bluff? Perhaps they are. I don't know, you know, but if they're not going to sell, they're not going to sell. And seemingly they're saying they're not going to sell at any price. Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second. So clearly they'll no doubt leave it till the last minute to jack the price up. However, weren't there talk in the week of a bit of some ridiculous bid of 15 million for Walton, the young midfield player, was it Palace, I think? I suppose as far as Blackburn's concerned, is the old thing, isn't it? You know, okay, get rid of him. I think it's widely pretty well known that he's the highest earner there. I think he's got another option, I think, on his contract, which I don't think they're too keen no. to say honour, left to honour it, but I don't think they'd rather get him away. But it's a case of perhaps them getting someone else in first. So yeah, it's that old domino effect again, isn't it, to a degree?
Yeah. FPL asks you, did you enjoy the surprise in the cricket, at least? I'm going to shrug my shoulders like Alan Partridge at cricket.
Unbelievable. But... unbelievable. I mean, the kid, oh, sorry, since it's a cricket pod, but poor young Hartley. I mean, I don't follow it on the Telegram group on Thursday, first day. He goes for like 65 in his first 8 or 9 overs, absolutely hammered. So how nice it is. Come back, 7 wickets. Incredible. What a test match. Brilliant. To win a test match, to win any test match in India is tough. But to win it how we did it was just incredible. Ollie Pope, unbelievable. Yeah, brilliant.
There you go. You could just tell me that, you may as well have told me that they've revamped Current Affairs day for like...
Yeah, Boycott played well.
Yeah,
Boycott
did he? Yeah,
really well.
Tough, yeah, Tuffnell will get a wicket or two. Yeah, good
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, tough as Boycott, well.
Thank you to the folks over on Facebook who have given us a thumbs up, by the way. Did he? Sean, Mark, Gareth, and our mate Sully. If you're watching on YouTube as well, do give us a thumbs up. It might drag a few people over here as well. And do subscribe as well. We've just hit another milestone. So, looking to get... 4K is next. So, do help us out in that little respect as well. And content will come your way as a result of it as well. David asking about... probably about money, Joe, here, but an FFP probably interaction. Why the little amount available for players when it seemed like we had a few million? I guess it's difficult for us to anticipate to understand what's going on, because we're not behind the scenes. We're not the ones getting the checkbooks out, but there is some constraints, aren't there? And the market doesn't appear to be a huge amount of volume, is there?
No, the market just isn't really moving, is it? And that's from the very, very top of it down. Like, there's talk today of, I think, Aston Villa trying to buy Morgan Rodgers for sort of an 8-figure fee. And that's, I think, the only big fee that's been spent by a Premier League club, as in anything more than a nominal fee, is Tottenham signed a Romanian defender from Genoa. That's like the only transfer so far. It's been so quiet. But we're obviously pushing to try and get Ali Alhamady and Sam Gallagher over the next few days. If we get both of them, well, that's going to be 3 or 4 million quid, isn't it, spent, yeah, sort of somewhere in that range. So there obviously is the money there because we are pushing for both of them. So it's just a case of getting over the line. But it's real slim pickings, isn't it, and in the market at the moment. And you sort of, like, say, so you look around and there's just nothing happening.
Mm. No. Yep. Yep. And I don't think, you know, I'm talking about Gallagher, out of contract in the summer potentially. I know he's got the extension, but we're not going to chuck money, big money, at a player whose contract is up. There's got a bit of common sense in there. You've got to panic and just chuck money at the problem.
There is a chance you overpay slightly for him. But
that's January.
The alternative is you bring someone else in on loan, and that is just a 6-month borrowing someone for dead money. Where if you could get if you could get Gallagher in on a permanent, on a 2.5-year contract, and he's someone that you've wanted for a long time. He was 5 million when Blackburn bought him from Southampton. Mm. He's got a decent record there, so it's not like he's been a failure. I reckon he is someone that works well in our system. And then you've got that, and then you've got the sort of wild card of Ali Alhamady, who seems to look really good. And obviously it's a big step up for him, and you can't expect someone to come from League Two to the Championship and lead the line from promotion changer chaser for 90 minutes week in, week out. But he is also someone that you could sign, and he come in and be worth 10 times what you pay for him in 12 months time.
And seems like we're still in for the fullback from Sheffield Wednesday. Marvin Johnson bubbling along, is it still?
A little bit of posturing around that, isn't there?
Yeah.
But we'll see. Yeah, I mean, two questions on, again, possible outs or queries of players from Saturday. Neil asked about Tuanzebe. Dave, he's not really putting pressure to play regularly. Obviously, Edmondson's come in whilst Burgess has been away. And Charlie D asks about Jack Taylor as well. Your thoughts on whether he's a fit and whether Tuanzebe's a fit as well. Cardiff.
Well, what it showed, I think what it showed Saturday, I thought Taylor had a really good impact the other night coming on against, well, as all the subs did, coming on against Leicester. I thought he really did push us on. But what I think it showed me yesterday, that he's not ready to, certainly not ready to displace Luongo. A fit and, you know, round to go Luongo in that centre. He's not ready to displace him yet, I don't think. He's just a bit like Broadhead at the moment. Broadhead is just not quite on it, is he? He's just, first touch isn't quite there. I thought, you know, perhaps last season he had that sort of seemingly that, like, you know, 2 or 3 yard forward burst of pace, which is just not quite there. I know he's playing in a perhaps a strange position for him yesterday, but he's just off it, isn't he, just recently? Just can't quite put your finger on it. You know, we all know he's technically brilliant, and technically, no doubt, he's probably our best player technically. Well, okay, let's put Hutchison and Sarmiento to one side, they're lone players, but yeah, it's an odd one. Taylor, hasn't quite done it. I mean, he was just itching for Taylor to get the ball on the edge of the box and unload one, but it just didn't, again, just didn't happen, and hasn't fallen for him lately. But yeah, it's still fairly early days, but for us, it's quite a big fee. Well, if it was, as reported, 1.5 million, that's a sort of hefty fee for us. And he's not, to me, he's not really pushing Luongo. If it is Luongo, which is the position, he's not pushing him hard enough yet, I don't think.
No. Joe, your thoughts, whether Taylor's maybe more of a 10 than an 8 or whatever we're playing him at? Maybe that's his role? I don't know.
I don't think we really play the 8, which is where he probably is more natural. So we're trying to play him more as the sort of 6/8, if you're sort of going all down number terms. But I think when the game is quite open and there's space to run into, like the Leicester game, where you can turn, beat a man in the midfield, and then you've got 10, 15 yards ahead of you to move and make something happen, I think he's good. But when it's a game like yesterday, which I thought he was okay yesterday, but when it's a game where you're just trying to break down a team, he's more a sort of impact player than he is a sort of ticky-tacky sort of guy. And yeah, probably wasn't really the game for him, but I think he's been fine for us. But I think he's probably just struggling a little bit with the step up into the Championship. I know we played there previously for Peterborough, but step up, because you've gone from a League One sort of playoff mid-table side to a Championship top two side. It's a big jump, isn't it, to go from there. Maybe if we were 12th, 14th in the Championship, he'd be doing better and growing with us. But at the moment, we've grown so quickly, it's difficult to keep up. But yeah, we chase him for so long, there's no doubt we'll have a plan for him, and we'll keep going with it.
Yeah.
And Luongo's standard generally has been so high, hasn't it, this season as well. He's just been superb, hasn't he?
But there's been the odd game where Luongo's just been, I wouldn't like to say
one. I agree.
But there's certain games like, I thought West Brom away, even a couple of games like that where he just, when they've got three in there and he just does not have the legs to get around as much as you need to when you've got a really traffic. But like I said, generally he's been a superb signing and has been fully, fully deserving of his 1 year contract extension he's got. But there are certain games where he really struggles in there at this level because he's never played at the top end of the league either.
Yep. Yep. Very briefly, Peter, I think, is a Stones fan. Yesterday was a great result for us. Another day, you've got five. Never going to match Ipswich for skill, but they've got heart. Big questions for your defence down the middle. Yeah, fair summary there. Peter was expecting a few more Maidstone fans, and maybe I've missed them in the chat, fans of other clubs as well, but we seem to have gone away unscathed generally at 56 minutes. A few bits and pieces to call out before we do some summings up around transfer business in Preston. I saw another 2-1 cup defeat for an Ipswich Town team this afternoon. ITFC Women losing out to Portsmouth, easy for me to say, in the FA Women's National League Cup. It took a worldie in extra time to see off Town, who were pretty decent actually in the second half and probably should have won the game in normal time, but just couldn't get that goal. A bit of an iffy opener for them via Sophie Quirk after a goalkeeping, a little bit of a mix-up at the back there. But Bonnie Horwood got us back on terms via a penalty, and then, yeah, Nicole Barrett with an absolute worldie, fair play. If you're going to lose the game, you may as well to a great goal. So
was there double drumming?
There was double drummage there, and but it didn't make much of a difference, sadly. My voice is a little bit deeper than normal, but we'll be back next week. A great opportunity to get revenge, and now we know really what the challenge is from Portsmouth when we play them in the league, trying to get the league form back on track. But yeah, disappointing to lose out there. In terms of business here on the podcast, it's hopefully an exciting week for us. If business is done pretty quickly in the next 2 days, I'd imagine that one or two of us will come and react like we have before. Maybe we get Dan from the Blackburn podcast back again and he can talk to us about Gallagher. Hopefully that will happen. But otherwise, I think, Joe, you and Craig are getting on your yellow outfits for Thursday night, aren't you?
Yeah, we are planning for a big deadline day special. Hopefully all the business is done tomorrow so we can just sit there with our feet up for it instead and have it as a window overview. But yeah, there's a feeling it could go down to the wire, and if it does, we will be there covering with the news.
Yeah, lovely stuff. And probably what we'll do is, that's Thursday, so it might be that Seb and I go live 8 to 9 and do the Preston pre-match and then Craig and Joe step in, or maybe we pre-record the pre-match and, yeah, just go live with Craig. And
I'm okay to take a walk over the heath and hang around outside Playford Road if you want.
Oh, you can be us. Yeah, you can be the guy outside the car park.
Man on the ground.
He gets accosted by fans with, I'm not going to say that word. Yeah, well, so should be plenty of action, hopefully, either way. Either it's pre-match and or it's transfer deadline day. So keep your eyes posted on our socials and our website, Blue Monday ITFC, the link. BlueMondayITFC.co.uk for all the links for all of our YouTube stuff, podcast links, and the Telegram group as well, because now is the time to get your free trial. You can take advantage of another few days of transfer chat before I shut that nonsense down for another 5 months. So fill your boots while you can before I'm miserable and shut it all down. And then obviously we'll be back next Sunday talking about Preston after the fact, live 8 p.m. here again on YouTube and then on podcast afterwards. Guys, we've talked, I think, a little bit about transfer business. Let's talk very briefly about Preston and your thoughts about that in terms of context and the game that we saw on Saturday. It's an important game to get to bounce back at, really, isn't it, because of Saturday. Worth noting that Preston dropped out of the top six since we played them, the 4-2 that we had earlier in the season. Really up and down form, isn't it, there? Really, and maybe a little bit pressure on the manager, Dave. What's your take?
Really, really patchy form. Really patchy form, haven't they? Didn't we went there in pre-season, didn't we? Beat them in pre-season 2-1, I think. Yeah, we beat them pre-season. Look, it's these next 18 games, the old cliche, a cup tie, every one of them. And Joe summed it up really well. You know, all we got to do is probably accumulate more points. Yeah, it's going to be Southampton or Leeds, only, what, 2 or 3 points behind now. But you'd think Southampton accumulate more points than them over 18 games and the job's done. But it won't be easy. Preston turned over Leeds there just certainly over Christmas, I think it perhaps was New Year's Day, I think. Maybe Boxing Day, I can't remember. But so it's not going to be easy. But look, we'll certainly go there with the right attitude after after yesterday, for sure. There won't be any, certainly won't be, you know, complacency next Saturday. And with a, like I said earlier, with maybe one, maybe two, maybe three potential new signings to give the squad a lift, yeah, you've got to go there with you've got to go there with confidence.
12th in the league, Joe, only one win in the last five. Drew with Millwall at the weekend, though they went in cup action, which is not a terrible result, I guess. But home form, seven wins and five defeats in there, and the rest draws. It's a game on paper that we shouldn't have a huge amount to fear about. But you just don't know which Preston team's going to turn up to Dave's point.
No, they started the season flying, didn't they? And they were right up with us at the top of the league when we beat them. But I think the manager's under a fair bit of pressure up there. They're not really progressing at the moment. They're just drifting into what will be an inevitable mid-table finish. So it's just a case of this sort of game where if you can go up there, be right on it and get going right from the very start, it's a very winnable game, isn't it, to go up there and do that. But as with any game in the Championship, they've got enough quality to hurt you if you're not quite at it 100%. So we just need to make sure that we are.
Yep, spot on. Well, we'll be back, as you said, to talk about it on the pre-match show. Thank you, everyone, for joining in the chat. Hopefully, we dealt with... Oh, and Will Keane will be there. Maybe, if Mollet's listening, he'd be hopeful that if we don't get Gallagher, maybe we get Keane. That'd be a nice bit of a twist in the tail, wouldn't it? But thank you, everyone. Hopefully, we dealt with Maidstone in the best way possible. We've ticked off all the kind of emotional reaction, the conspiracy theories, and rashly thought ahead about what follows next. And obviously, it's league action against Preston. It's getting some business done, isn't it? So keep your eyes peeled here on Blue Monday. Do give us a thumbs up and subscribe. We've got everything covered. Dave's hanging out and stalking what's going on at Playford Road. Joe's got his ties out as well and yellow jacket. I'm sure that'll be worthwhile checking in on Thursday as well. Have a great week. And if you're still a little bit delicate after Saturday, we'll just keep off the socials and maybe don't watch Sky Sports for a bit. And then hopefully the world will forget. But congratulations to Maidstone. The magic of the FA Cup strikes again. We wish them all the very best in the next round. And for us, the cliche goes back to the league. Have a great week, folks, and we will see you soon.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.